So we finally have a little bit of a Bitcoin pump, and that's made the markets completely green. But the reality is that I don't trust this pump, and I'm going to show you why I don't think this pump is going to last. I wouldn't celebrate too soon. After that, I want to talk to you about something else, because what I've realized is that we're doing it all wrong and we've selected our altcoin portfolios all wrong. And I've given you guys a whole lot of altcoin portfolios, but having analyzed the successful altcoins versus the unsuccessful altcoins, I now know exactly which tokens are going to make it the cycle and which tokens aren't going to make it the cycle. And as a result, I'm making huge changes to my portfolio. And I think you need to do the same. And I think you need to do it very, very, very quickly, because if you don't do it quickly and the bull market does come ahead of expectation, then we're going to have a huge problem. So we'll talk about why this pump's not going to last. But more importantly, we're going to discuss the big changes that I'm making to my portfolios. You want to watch the show. It's the most important show we've done in a long time. Let's go, guys. All right. Let me know in the comments if you believe this pump or if you don't believe this pump. I don't trust this pump, and I'm going to show you in a second why I don't trust this particular pump. Don't worry, I am completely bullish, more bullish than I've ever been. I just don't trust this particular pump, and I'm going to show you why I don't trust this particular pump. And then we need to talk about the elephant in the room. I know I've given you guys a whole lot of portfolios. I know we've selected a whole lot of altcoins, but I've done some research and I've realized what makes tokens go up and what separates those from tokens that don't go up. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. It's going to be a massive, massive, massive show. You really want to listen to the show till the end. This is the one. So if you're new to the channel, you know what to do. Subscribe to the channel, join the 965,000 other absolute fucking legends who are going to be so rich at the end of this bull market. Just join these people, join the best community in the world. Speaking of the best community in the world, you know, if you're in Frontrunners, we are giving away to one member of Frontrunners, we are giving away a free ticket to come with us to Singapore to the bash in the banter party. So if you're going to Token 2049 in Singapore, we are going to be having a huge banter party. You will be invited. But if you're in Frontrunners, one lucky member of Frontrunners will actually be we'll be flying you there, we'll be putting you up at a hotel, and we'll be taking you to Token 2049 and to the party. If you haven't signed up already for Frontrunners, then just go onto the show, sign up for Frontrunners. Sign up for Frontrunners. If you're unhappy in 30 days, I will give you back your money. So just sign up there. If you're unhappy in 30 days, you email me, I will give you back your money. I want you guys in this community. The waiting list is open, closed, Josh? Should be closed. Okay, well, sign up and we will let people in. All right, let's get the show on the road. Let's talk about this pump. Let's talk about what we've been doing wrong and right in our altcoin portfolios. Let's go. There is a pump today, no doubt about it. I woke up this morning, I saw 61,000. As I woke up with 61,000, I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. I looked at the bubbles. The bubbles were absolutely, absolutely amazing. Just look at those absolutely beautiful green bubbles everywhere. And then I was like, oh no, come on, guys, this is not going to work. And the reason why it's not going to work is very simple, because if you have been paying attention, what you'll realize is that while some people have been euphoric and some people are saying that this is the end of the bear trap, and by the way, it could be the end of the bear trap, but I just don't trust this pump. Reason why I don't trust this pump is very simple. This pump is driven by leverage. When I woke up this morning, the first thing I saw is I saw the Bitcoin pump. And then the second thing I did was I went to check the leverage, and I realized that this pump was not caused by spot buyers actually buying Bitcoin. This pump was caused by a bunch of leveraged degens just buying a whole lot more. Now, the last seven times that this has happened, we have rejected. So the last seven times we have rejected, the open interest has built up, the leverage has built up, and then we were just slammed back down to the ground again. My feeling is, look, we could pump. But it looks to me like this is not one of those real pumps. This is just a leverage pump. Look, it may trigger a short squeeze. It may trigger a spot buyers actually coming to the market. But this particular specific part of the pump is not encouraging to me that this is the one that's taking us past the all-time highs. Nevertheless, some of our brothers and sisters in crypto are celebrating. They're celebrating small things, like Greg Capital is celebrating that we have broken a trend. And if you look at this trend, if you pay attention, what you'll see is that this trend is a week long trend. So we've broken like a week long trend. People are celebrating small celebrations, small wins. That's where we've come to. Eric Crown is celebrating that we maybe putting in a weekly higher low. So small celebrations. We're celebrating small things at the moment. Alger is celebrating that Bitcoin has reclaimed its 200-day EMA. So, I mean, everyone's celebrating something. I do think, though, that at some point the market is going to catch us off guard. Because, as Chris Benisky says, enough people don't believe that it's soon time to make them believe again. We are getting to that point where a lot of people don't believe the pump is going to come. And that is when the pump actually catches you by surprise. So I don't think that this is the pump. Right now, I think that the risk return is much better being long than being short. You want to be holding Bitcoin because you know how it works with Bitcoin. Very soon, the selling pressure is going to unwind. We know that right now, there is a lot of selling pressure. And that is why the S&P is moving towards all-time highs. In fact, just look at the chart here of the S&P versus Bitcoin. The S&P is moving to all-time highs. The S&P is responding to macro things. But Bitcoin isn't. The reason why that's happening is, as we spoke about it a few shows ago, where I said to you, the reason why that's happening is because there is an overhang in the market of government coins. I think it's the US government selling coins. I think they'll come out pretty soon and say, hey, we sold a whole lot of the US government coins. But there's an overhang in the market. Between that, the Mt. Gox coins, there's an overhang in the market, and that is artificially keeping the price down. But rest assured that very soon there's going to be a catch-up trade. And I said to you guys about 15 days ago when I was on Kitco News, I said, I think the breakout comes within 30 to 60 days. I maintain that the breakout is coming within 30 to 60 days. And so I kind of follow this tweet over here, which says this is probably the last four weeks below 70K. So I think you have about a month to get your portfolios in order before we actually break that 70K. It may be this pump. I'm not convinced about this pump because of the leverage that I showed you over here. But I think if it's not this pump, it could be the next pump. You got it is the last 4 weeks before 70K, after which we break 70K. And I think we finally go into the price discovery that we actually deserve and the price discovery that we actually get. One thing that has been creeping up on us on the macro scale, which I don't think a lot of people have been paying attention to, is the Dixie. If you look at the chart of the Dixie, what you probably haven't realized is it has actually broken down. And if you look here, what you'll realize is that we're now hitting some critical levels. It's now at 101.67 because the market's forecasting that Powell will reduce interest rates. And so if Powell reduces interest rates, it's not that attractive to be holding US dollars. And as the US dollar weakens, all assets relative to the US dollar strengthen. And that's why the S&P is strengthening, but Bitcoin isn't strengthening. Very, very, very soon you're gonna catch the monster of all catch-up trades. And when that day comes, you have to be in the market. Because today was a little green candle for ants, right? This is like a green candle for absolute ants. One day you're gonna wake up, I'm willing to guarantee you, within the next 30 days, you're going to wake up and there's gonna be a $5,000 candle or $4,000 candle. You're gonna go from 61 to 65. And on that day, you want to make sure that you're in the market. If you're caught with your pants down, not in the market on that day, well, then something. Then you're gonna hate yourself. By the way, I see that you guys haven't smashed the like button. You don't like what I'm saying? Or is it something wrong with the quality of the show? Is it the audio? Hello? Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Smash the like button. Let's obliterate it. Let's get to over 1,000 likes. I'm going to give you massive alpha here today. I promise you. Massive, massive, massive alpha. Also good to see yesterday, we saw that 60% of the US largest hedge funds have got Bitcoin exposure, which is amazing. I mean, it just shows you that while we're all sitting here and focused on the short-term price movements, actually, the funds are actually just accumulating. And who would have thought that we would be 7 months after the approval of the Bitcoin ETF, 60% of all the biggest funds in the world have already started purchasing. Citadel, Millennium. I mean, just look, these are the biggest funds in the US, and 60% of them have already started buying Bitcoin. And those that haven't, rest assured, they will actually start buying Bitcoin. So that is the Bitcoin and the massive Bitcoin scenario. Let's take a look at altcoins. Josh, this is a great bubble, this one. $50,000 airdrop. Very good bubble. Let's talk about the altcoins. A great day for altcoins. Everything's green, especially Brett. Look at Brett. Brett's very green. I'll tell you why Brett is green. Because it's got a listing on Upbit in Korea. So now the Koreans are starting to trade BRIT, which is absolutely amazing. It's also got a Binance futures listing for BRIT. So it looks like the only token that the only big exchange that hasn't yet listed BRIT is actually Coinbase, which is like strange because it is on the Base chain and it is the biggest meme on the Base chain. And Coinbase is the only exchange that hasn't yet listed BRIT, unfortunately. But it will come. It will come. The other thing which I notice is happening, which I think you need to pay attention to, is Tron. So look, I'm not getting dragged into playing meme coins on Tron. And I'm going to show you in a second why I'm not going to get dragged into playing meme coins on Tron. But it is interesting to see that Tron is in, you know, that Justin Sun has managed to breathe new life into Tron. And if it does carry on like this, you know, very soon we will break these levels over here and we can actually go up. Now, again, I'm staying out of this pump just because fundamentally I think there's better things to invest in. But I mean, it is good to see that there is some kind of life on Tron. And I want to quote Awawat Trades where he says, look, we complain about teams selling a lot, but when a founder seems so intent on pumping his own coin after protecting his downside for two whole years, you got to pay attention. So something could happen with Tron. The thing that I'm most excited about is central bank liquidity. And I don't mean global central bank liquidity. I mean crypto central bank liquidity. Because if you look at Tether, and if you look at the stable coins market cap, what we can clearly see is that the stablecoin market cap is starting to accelerate. Now, that is like crypto stimulus. So I think what's happening is if you look at the all-time high for stablecoins, there was an all-time high market cap of about 187 billion. The low was about 123 billion. Now we're at 167 billion. But most of the altcoins haven't started running yet. This is like the crypto central bank. When they print more stable coins, that's like the central bank actually putting liquidity into the market. And so I think we're in a position now where we're about to see a double whammy. And when I say a double whammy, I mean two things are happening. The first thing is that the M2, which is the real central bank money, the M2 global money supply, is actually breaking out and starting to get to new highs. But that is bringing more money into crypto central bank. And so I think we're about to get a double whammy where we start following the August 2020 scenario. I really think we are heading for this August 2020 scenario where we're breaking out and we're going to get this aggressive breakout towards the end of the year, towards the election. Someone says, Tether is like the Federal Reserve of crypto. Every time USDT is minted, the market seems to climb higher. And there's just more and more and more actually being printed. Also, you can see global liquidity is up, $80.82 trillion. So you can see that that's happening. So to me, I'm positioning myself for a double whammy towards the end of the year. Stablecoins breaking out, money supply breaking out, elections coming up. I'm fully, fully, fully bullish for the rest of the year, I must say. And I do believe that we have about 30 days left. Because I said 30 to 60 days about 30 days ago. I think there are about 30 days under 70,000 left. And then I think we start running. And when we start running, I think it's going to run so fast that you ain't going to be able to catch it. And you really, really, really need to be well positioned for it. And this is what I wanted to speak to you guys about today. This is what I wanted to spend the lion's share of the show on today. How to position yourself for the rest of the crypto bull market. And I'll tell you one thing. I think we've been doing it all wrong. And the reason why I think we've been doing it all wrong is I think we've been spending a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy looking for the new narrative. And we went, you know, quite deep into Deepin. In fact, let's just call up some of the narratives that have run this year. You've got identity, you have AI, you have liquid staking derivatives. Let me just give you a better view here. You have liquid staking derivatives, you have real world assets, you have L1s, GameFi, L2s. Guys, I think that we've lost sight of what's actually going to work in this industry and what's actually not going to work in this industry. And I'm going to show you now why I think that, but then I'm going to show you why some tokens succeed and some tokens don't succeed. And I think it's really important that you pay a lot of attention here today. So I think that if you look at the top two narratives here, it's derivatives and memes, right, for the year. That tells you a little story. And I think we need to go back to basics. So certainly I'm going to go back to basics for the rest of the bull market. I'm positioning myself for an absolute, absolute, absolute killer bull market. My objective in this killer bull market is to get the best return with the least effort and the least risk. And I think you'll agree that that's the investment philosophy that we need to have. How do we get the best return with the least effort and the least risk. Risk-adjusted return without spending too much time, effort, and energy. Now, the reality is that if you want to navigate the crypto bull market, and if you want to navigate the crypto market, and you want to start looking for all the different narratives, be my guest. But you're going to have to spend a whole lot of time analyzing things like oracles, like identity, like liquid staking derivatives, like DeFin, like Gamblefy, like NFTs. And the reality is that when you do analyze those, you may or may not find one little gem in those things that will actually outperform the market. You may or may not find it if you look into the market. And to be honest, I see a lot of people looking for the next narrative and the next narrative. Oh, I want to find the best AI token. I want to find the next best DeFi token. We're doing it all wrong. And I'll tell you why we're doing it all wrong. Let's remember why we're here. We're here because we've created a new technology. What is that new technology? That new technology allows us to create, move, and trade digital value. That is what blockchain is. It is a technology which is created to create, move, and trade digital value. That is what blockchain is actually about. And so in a market where the whole value of the technology is around creating value, trading value, and moving value, how you should position all your bets is that you can capture the majority of the value that is created. The idea is that you don't really care where the value is created. Maybe the value is created on DeFi, maybe it's created on AI, maybe it's created on liquid staking tokens. Who the hell cares? I don't really care where the value is created. What I want to do is I want to stay true to the technology. And for me to stay true to the technology, I've got to invest in things that will benefit when I create, move, and trade digital value. And when it comes to that thesis, if you believe in that thesis and you go back to basics, then you say to yourself that, well, obviously the best place to be invested in is in the layer ones, right? Because no matter what DeFi projects get built, no matter what LST projects get built, no matter what GameFi projects get built, guys, no matter what gets built, ultimately what we're going to be doing is we're going to be trading, we're going to be creating, trading, and moving value. And the biggest custodians when we create, trade, and move value is the layer ones. Great. Therefore, what we know is that the majority of your money should be in layer ones. Take your pick, layer ones. You can go into Injective, you can go into Solana, you can go into Sui. I'm not here to tell you which layer one to invest in. We've discussed that already, and I've given you who I think the best layer ones are going to be. The next part of the thesis says, all right, well, okay, so who else is going to benefit when we create, move, and trade value? Now, if you don't believe me about this create, move, and trade value, just look at meme coins, right? So you look at meme coins, you look at pump.fun, and you look at the share of attentions that memes have taken. They've taken, they are the number one in terms of attention. On this chart, they're the number two because they're looking at it year to date. But in this cycle, meme coins have taken the most attention. What is a meme coin? A meme coin is the creation of value where it didn't exist, which is we created value out of attention, which is a value that never existed. And then all we did was we traded it. Now, who were the custodians of that? Well, Solana was the big custodian of it. The layer one on which meme coins started to work was the big custodian of it. The next part of the thesis says, well, if people are going to trade value, you need to be in all the trading protocols. Now, I don't only mean the DEXs. I mean, invest in the layer one and invest in any kind of trading platform on the layer one. Whether it is derivatives, just a simple DEX, whether it's an options exchange, whether it's an NFT exchange, doesn't matter. Just invest in things that trade value. So I'll give an example. If you were looking at Solana, you would say, okay, look, the layer one would be Solana. The things that you can invest in are all the things that trade value on Solana. So Radium, Jupiter, Orca, White Whale, Drift, Tensor, it doesn't matter what it is. All these things are about trading digital value. Same thing on Ethereum. Like, you take Ethereum and you say, okay, if Ethereum's the layer one, what are the trading things? Uniswap is one of them, Banana Gun, Evo. All of these are trading platforms. Now, I'm not saying that you need to buy the layer one, and then you need to buy the DEX, and you need to buy the that's it. Just think about it like this. We are creating digital value. We are transferring digital value. Therefore, you need to invest in layer one, and you need to invest in any kind of trading play. You'll notice some of these are trading bots like Banana Gun. Some of them are trading platforms. Some of them are trading aggregators. Just be. I think that 80% of your portfolio, 80% of your portfolio needs to be in the layer one and the various different trading protocols on the platform. Because as I say, whether you're trading a meme coin or you're trading an NFT or you're trading a utility token, ultimately you're going to be using a decentralized exchange. Ultimately, somebody's going to create perpetual. Somebody's going to create options. Somebody's going to create futures. Just be involved in the layer one and all the different types of trading platforms that are out there. Okay? That is 80% of your portfolio. Then you could ask yourself, okay, what do I do with the other 20% of my portfolio? Well, then you go and look for narratives. Go and look for AI. Go and look for Deepin. Go and look for LSTs. I don't really care what you do. And to be honest, it doesn't really matter. Because I think some of them, the probability of an AI token actually working in this cycle, close to zero. The probability of a platform that trades value that is created by AI tokens, by Deepin tokens, by any kind of narrative token. So let's quickly look at some of those narratives. So if you look at the narrative, you say, well, you know, the GameFi. I don't really care which GameFi platform works. I just care about the exchange that's going to trade the value of the GameFi. Now, when I say exchange, I mean derivatives exchange. I mean trading bot. Remember, 80% of your portfolio should be in the layer one and in the trading tools and platforms of the value. 20% should be in the actual value creators. What are the value creators? Deepin protocols, games and gaming, etc., etc. Change your mindset. If you go back to basics in this industry and you think to yourself, why are we here? We are here because we have created a unique technology which allows us to create value where it never existed, to move the value across the world at the speed of data and to trade that value with other people. 80% of the value capture in this industry will fall into that. 20% will fall into 80% of the other garbage. So you think about this. If you had 80% of your investments and you spend 80% of your time on just the layer ones and all the different trading options and trading opportunities on the layer ones, right? I don't really care what it is. And then the other 20% is on all the things that are actually creating value. You wouldn't be spending, right now, I think people are spending 80% of their time looking for the next hot narrative when actually that's going to give them 20% their return or maybe even 1% of their return. The majority and the safest returns. Remember, we started this discussion by saying that what we want is we want to have the least effort with the least risk and the most return. I've simplified it for you. 80% of your time, effort, energy, focus on investing in the layer ones. You don't do a lot of layer ones. Bitcoin, Ethereum, Solana, Sui, Injective, that's enough layer ones. Okay. Then you need trading platforms on those layer ones. You say, okay, what do I want? Well, I want a platform on Solana that trades anything. Great, go and get Drift. I like Drift. Why do I like Drift? It trades perpetuals. It's now also trading attention. What do you mean by trading attention? It's trading, it's launched a poly markets competitor, prediction market competitor, right? So you can see that what is Drift? Drift is capturing the value of trading anything. You can trade derivatives. You can trade prediction markets. You can trade attention. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? And now that Drift has actually launched a competitor to Polymarket, Polymarket's getting really scared because you're now going to be able to trade with a Solana experience and actually trade prediction markets. Doesn't matter what you're trading. Prediction markets are the creation of value. And we are trading the value that we have created across the world at the speed of data. And who are going to be the custodians? Well, in this case, Solana and Drift. So you could spend your time looking for the next Deepin or the next game, or you can just put some money in Solana and put some money in Drift and put some money in Jupiter and some put some money in Orca and in the trading platforms. And then you could spend the rest of the time with your family. Rather than spending hours and hours and hours trying to find that one AI gem or that one gaming gem that is probably has a 99% less chance of succeeding than the protocols that I've just told you about. You take a crypto game, any crypto game that you like, and you compare the probability of success of the crypto game to the probability of success of a crypto exchange, such as Drift, such as Jupiter. Who has a higher chance of success? Obviously, the platform has the higher chance of success. Therefore, why would you spend your time trying to find that one game? Why would you take that additional amount of risk? Why would you put in all that effort? The risk-adjusted return and the effort-adjusted return isn't worth it. And that's why I think what we need to do as a community is we need to simplify. 80% of our tokens, layer one and trading platforms. 20%, who the hell cares? Put it in meme coins. I don't really care which meme coin you put in. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. Who cares? In fact, I told you, I think the meme coin cycle is pretty much done. And I think the memes that are actually going to survive are the ones that are actually now the big memes. And I think, again, would you rather invest in a pump.fun, which is a value creation platform, or in a DEX that trades memes? Or would you rather take a chance and look for that one gem in the 157,652 gems that launch on pump.fun every single day? Sounds like a lot of work for asymmetrical upside. And so I think it's super important that we simplify our investment thesis and come back to our roots and say to ourselves, why are we here? We are here because we've created value, we want to send value, and we want to trade value. And therefore, 80% of the value is going to be captured in the layer one and the trading platforms. And the other 20% is going to be created by these gems that are so hard to find that it's probably not even worth your while looking. Simple as that. Let me know if you agree with me in the chat. Let me know if you agree with me. All right, now I want to show you. I think I've unraveled or uncovered which tokens are going to be successful and which tokens aren't going to be successful. And I think that once I've told you which tokens are going to be successful and which tokens are not going to be successful, you're going to agree with me that this is probably, I've really uncovered in this cycle what is going to make some tokens successful and some tokens not successful. That sound like a good one? All right, give me some names of tokens and I'll tell you if it's going to be successful or not. Phantom will be successful. Give me some more. Thoughtchain will be successful. Next one.
Wormhole
won't be successful.
Okay. Saga
won't be successful.
Mana
won't be successful.
Okay. What about Render?
Render will be successful.
Okay.
Arweave will be successful. Why are you laughing, Josh?
Tan
will be successful. We'll make it. Give me more, Josh. Give me more. All right, I see in the chat here. The chat's going so quickly. Link will be successful. Jupiter will be successful. GRT will be successful. ZK won't be successful. Dot won't be successful. So guys, I'll show you how I've analyzed the market and why I'm so confident that I kind of know which tokens are going to be successful and which tokens aren't going to be successful. So the starting point of my analysis was to identify the biggest gainers and the biggest losers in the market. And so I went and I did a whole lot of work and said, in the last year, as you can see here, what are the most successful tokens? I literally went through this exercise. I went through this exercise on multiple platforms, as you can see. And I started analyzing the tokens that have performed in the last year versus the tokens that haven't performed. And they all actually have one thing in common. And then I plotted them onto a spreadsheet. And I realized that we have a whole lot of really good tokens. And here are some of the good tokens. Bitcoin, Ethereum, BNB, Solana, Link, Injective, Arweave, Rune, Helium. These are all very successful tokens. And then you have a whole bunch of tokens which are actually a little bit unsuccessful, you could say, right? What is the difference between this list over here and this list over here? What is the difference between a meme coin like Brett that looks like this, or a meme coin of Pepe that looks like this, versus a whole lot of meme coins that don't succeed. And to be honest, I'm going to actually call ourselves out here and say, like, if you look at the chart of Gummy and you look at the chart of Brett, it's a very different chart. And right now, of course, I can't argue that Brett's a much more successful meme coin than Gummy is. And so that got me thinking, what separates the good tokens from the bad tokens? Why are some tokens more successful and other tokens not successful? And it doesn't come down to technology because, you know, you could argue that when you look at this list over here that I made and you compare the technology of these tokens over here versus the technology of these tokens over here, you could argue that maybe these actually have better technology. Like you could argue that Athena is amazing technology. You could argue that WorldCoin is amazing technology. You could argue that Portal and Dimension really do have amazing technology. Celestia has amazing technology. So it's not about technology. The thing that makes one token different from another token is not the technology. Although technology does count. You have to have technology that actually works. But it's not actually about technology. I'll tell you. I'll tell you what makes one token different from another. And it comes down to, why do we all like Bitcoin? Why do we like Bitcoin? Don't answer that because you know the answer. Hardest, why does everybody like Bitcoin? It's big. That's not the answer. Let me know in the chat. Why do you think that everybody loves Bitcoin? And why do you think everybody loves Ethereum? And why do you think everybody likes Solana? I'll tell you what the answer is. I want to see if anybody gets this right. Tell you what the answer is. The answer actually lies in looking at the chart. So look at this chart and then look at this chart. What do we see that Bitcoin has, that Ethereum has, and that all other successful tokens actually have? Okay. The one thing that they all have in common is that they started low and then they went up. And the reason, I mean, look, that's Bitcoin. Here's Ethereum. Started low, went up. Let's look at Solana. Okay, this is probably a bad chart because it doesn't go far enough back. Let's see, I think started low. I mean, just look at $1.17 and went up. Look at Pepe. Let's go back to Pepe over here. Let's go to the real Pepe. Let's go to Pepe over here. And let's go, who would have listed it first? Okay, you can kind of see it over here. It started low and it went up. And so that got me thinking, why is it that some tokens are more successful than other tokens? And as I ran through all the successful tokens, what I realized is the one thing that successful tokens have that unsuccessful tokens don't have is the fact that successful tokens all listed very low on the market, and a large base of users were actually able to get into the token at a very, very, very low price. And as a result, they all landed up making a lot of money. And because they all landed up making a lot of money, they became very attached to the token. So again, why do we like Bitcoin? Because most people have made money on Bitcoin. And therefore, most people actually like the token. They have a good feedback loop in their brain that says, this is a good token. Why do most people like Amazon, Google, Microsoft? Because number started low and number went up. Now, what tokens do people not like? People don't like tokens that start high, don't have a base of users in the token, and therefore, no one loves them, no one feels attached to them, and no one wants to buy them other than 10 VCs that are on the cap table. So the only people that like these tokens over here are a bunch of VCs, a handful of VCs that invested. Problem is, no one else likes them, so no one else is buying them. The difference is when you compare that to tokens like this, what you have is you have a bunch of tokens where a bunch of people got in really, really, really early. A lot of people got in really, really, really early. And the price went up. And as the price went up, more and more people became more and more attached to the token and more convinced in their brain. There was a feedback loop in their brain to tell them that this is a good thing. And therefore, they became more attached to it. And therefore, that's the one they like. Look at every single one of these. Now, you may look at these and say, but hold on, a lot of these are actually ICO tokens from 2017. And you're right. The difference between an ICO in 2017 and what's happening on the market now is that in 2017, the ICO tokens were distributed to a large amount of retail users. So in 2017, when you wanted to invest in like BNB ICO or you wanted to invest in the Phantom ICO, you as a retail investor could invest by, like everybody could invest in the Phantom ICO and you could buy it at, I don't remember what the valuation was, but a $30 million valuation. And so when Phantom went from a $30 million to $1 billion valuation, Phantom made millionaires. Same thing with BNB. BNB made millionaires. If you think about Bitcoin, Bitcoin made millionaires. Ethereum made millionaires. That is why these tokens are doing so well. Now, let me ask you a question. How many millionaires has Wormhole made? I don't know. Have you ever heard of a person who said, I made millions of dollars on Wormhole?
The VCs.
The VCs. How many millionaires has Starknet made? None. How many millionaires has Athena made other than VCs? Zero, zero, zero. That is why they can never, ever, 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 ever succeed. You need a token to make millionaires. The reason why Brett is so successful is because Brett has made millionaires. The Brett made millionaires. Pepe made millionaires. Bitcoin made millionaires. Ethereum made millionaires. The moral of the story is that for a token to succeed, the token must have started low, must have let a lot of people in, and must have made a lot of millionaires. And those are the tokens that are actually the best performing tokens this year in this cycle. The tokens that have made millionaires. How many, look at this. How many millionaires has Popcat made? I know a couple of millionaires. How many millionaires has Mogcoin made? I know. Punky. Mantra. Look at the chart of Mantra. It's one of our sponsors. Real world asset play. Unbelievable, unbelievable protocol. Okay. Just look at the millionaire. Let's just go back. Oh, let's go. How many millionaires were made here? How many millionaires were made between here and here? This token has a chance, right? And so what am I saying? Am I saying that these tokens will never make it? No. You know when these tokens will make it? When these tokens go down, because right now no one likes these tokens. When these tokens start to dump, no one's buying them. You know when they will start buying them? When they get to a bottom. And when we get to that bottom, and they can go through the same curve that Bitcoin or Solana or Ethereum went through, where they start off really, really, really low and they start to make millionaires and people start to love them, that is when those tokens will finally succeed. But you cannot start here and then expect people to love you and to buy the dip every time you fall. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. The tokens that will succeed are the ones that make millionaires. And the ones that make millionaires cannot come to market at a 3 and 4 and 5 and 20 billion valuation because there's not enough people that love them. And because there's not enough people that love them, there's not enough people that are attached to them. And because there's not enough people that are attached to them, there's not enough people to buy them in the dip. Right now, if Wormhole dips, who gives a shit? If Starknet dips, who gives a shit? If ZK dips, who gives a shit? But if Bitcoin dips, if Ethereum dips, if Solana dips, if Casper is the ultimate chart for me. Just look at this chart. How many millionaires has Casper made? Look at this fucking chart. How many millionaires has Casper made? This is the ultimate thing. So now let's go back. And let's play the game. You tell me the token. I'll tell you whether the token's going to make it. While I'm waiting for you guys in the comments, I want you to watch this.
I'm homeless. I lose a lot of money, like almost $300,000. But for me, crypto is like the possibility, not the money. And this is you guys.
It's definitely a privilege to see
homeless guy making $811,000, eh? After doing Kyle's course.
But again, I really hope this course will help you out a lot then, because that's what it's about, right? Is that risk management. The good news is that, yes, crypto is all about opportunity. And any of your lives can change at any moment. It literally takes just one trade that you get right. And just like that, overnight, you're a success.
It's true.
So, Guys, if you want to sign up for Kyle's course, it's the last free Kyle's course that we have. It's the last free Kyle's course. It's going to cost $999 in a month's time. Sign up today. Where do we sign up for Kyle's course? There must be somewhere in all of this. Okay, we need to put a link here for Kyle's course. Urgently, urgently, please. Let's put a link. It's the last time to sign up for Kyle's course. We need that. Also, remember, if you want to sign up for Frontrunners, this is, again, one lucky winner will join us. We'll pay for all your flights and accommodation to come and join us at the Banter Party at Singapore at the event. All right, I'm going to go through a couple. Daddy Token, not going to make it. Didn't make enough millionaires. Super, yeah. Super made millionaires. Super's going to make it. Super made millionaires. Look how many millionaires Super made. Let's go Super US. So it's what is it? Is it Super USDT? Because they keep changing their name. That's why I'm confused. Okay. Binance listed it late. So this is a bad example. I'm trying to think who was the first exchange to list Super. There was when Super launched, it launched somewhere here. And then it went up. And that made a whole lot of millionaires. So, yeah. Matic. Matic's tricky. Matic should make it. Yes, Matic should make it. Okay, the chat Aptos not going to make it, as far as I know. Not unless it goes down, sweeps the floor, and makes millionaires. All right, I think you get the drift. Guys, reminder to sign up to Kyle's World School. I think by now the link should actually be there. You do have exactly, 21 hours. You got 21 hours. Holy shit! Sign up. You got 21 hours to sign up to this course. It's the last time it's going to be free. I will see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.